950 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions, so give us a call right here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars, of course. We'll talk about that in a little while. By the way, we're almost sold out. And you can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You can also see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner, and more importantly, which are not. And, of course, you can automatically link to our Facebook page and join in on our discussions about the show, or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And, by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. Again, that's 877, the number 4, Condo Craze. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And finally, thank you to so many of you for supporting Camp2012.net and for throwing your support behind our 6 legislative proposals. And again, to find out more about how you can get involved and demand long overdue changes to both the condo and HOA statutes, again, just jot this down. Please visit www.camp2012, that's camp2012.net. And just to remind everybody what we're fighting for, here are the 6 legislative proposals that Camp 2012 is pushing hard for in Tallahassee. Number 1, raising the current statutory cap from 1% to 2% of the original mortgage debt that a bank's required to pay once that bank forecloses on a unit and obtains title.
During the pendency of any foreclosure action, an association, the unit owner, must place the assessments for the condominium or the homeowners association into the court registry as they come due.
3, finally allow the Department of Business and Professional Regulation to regulate and provide oversight, education, and an ombudsman for Florida's homeowners associations, not just for Florida condominium associations.
And how often do we get a call complaining about that, right? And of course, number 4, finally require Florida HOAs to utilize the statutory procedures that condos have to utilize for their annual elections, and that would allow certainly for more Floridians the opportunity to participate in the governance of their communities in which they live in.
5, just like for condominiums, require board members of Florida homeowners associations to become qualified and certified by taking an educational course designed to teach the fundamentals of Florida law governing Florida homeowners associations.
And finally, number 6, just like in homeowners associations, require certain minor disputes that arise in a condominium to first be mediated before being arbitrated or litigated in a court of law.
All seem pretty reasonable to me, and certainly we'd love our legislators to get behind us on this. Again, for more information, please check out their website at www.camp2012.net. Again, camp2012.net.
Well, last week we spoke about how Broward County is coming after Broward condos that won't allow pets in no-pet communities and that won't allow people under 55 to live in 55 and over communities. I mean, things that are in their condo docks.
You would think, right?
In the deck, yes. How back Bank of America had the tables turned on them by a couple in Naples who almost had the sheriff take away the bank. A new court decision that makes it even clearer that new condo laws don't apply in your community if you don't have the as amended from time to time language in your documents. And we spoke about why some people think condo owners have it too good and are benefiting financially off the backs of people who don't live in condos.
Yeah, and don't forget, Karen, we had a heated debate about pit bulls in our community associations that some people thought we kind of all overreacted to, but I don't think we did. But on to some other important important and time-sensitive information. This is really important if you are listening from a condominium association. Even though it's not April 15th and our tax returns aren't due, here in Florida, the month of August isn't so great on the tax front. Your real estate tax assessments are currently being mailed out by your local property appraisers, and many people may want to appeal what the appraiser says is the value of their property, but you really don't know how to do it or where to even start. But here is some good news. Again, members of the board especially should be listening carefully to this. Unit owners don't have to challenge the appraised value of their home on their own, and the condominium association itself can challenge the assessments on behalf of every condominium owner in the community. Again, to repeat that, the association can challenge everybody's tax assessments on behalf of everyone. And here's how to do it. The board of directors just simply has to vote to file a joint appeal and provide at least 20 days for a unit owner to elect in writing that his or her unit not be included in the petition. You know, every unit owner gets an opportunity to opt out. So if your association finds itself in the position of hearing lots of complaints from your unit owners about their property tax bill, the association can challenge the real estate taxes on all the units or even association-owned property, and of course, we can help.
Yeah, you know, and by the way, most attorneys that do this type of work, they'll usually take this case on a contingency fee, so there's usually no attorney's fees if the taxes are reduced.
Right, and here are the strict deadlines, though, to file your appeal, okay? Very important deadlines to follow. If you're listening from Dade and Broward County, your deadline to file this appeal, September 19th. Palm Beach County, you're even 3 days sooner on September 16th. Hillsborough, September 13th. Collier, September 16th. Pascal County, September 12th. And Pinellas County, September 16th. Those are the deadlines by which to file the appeal. So again, if your association wants to file an appeal of everyone's real estate taxes, just give us a call at Glazer & Associates at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze, and we'll be glad to help. And just a recent example, we recently worked an appeal jointly with another law firm in Dade County on behalf of a very large condominium building in the South Beach area. And we saved that condominium in Miami Beach a combined $560,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Again, that's $560,000, saving each unit owner in that building about $1,200 annually. So, again, if you have questions about it or if you'd like to try it, give us a call in the office at 877, the number 4, Condo Craze.
Well, $560,000. That's what you spent on your last birthday party. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Well, unlike last year, the Miami Herald reported last week that property owners shouldn't be nervous about their tax bills because overall, property values dropped 2.8% in Miami-Dade County and 1.6% in Broward in 2010.
And valuations plummeted in Florida City and the Homestead area, but in Coral Gables, Key Biscayne, Sunny Isles, and Miami Beach, prices have actually gone up a little bit. And in Broward, while valuations remain steady, the city of Weston increased by 1.5%, and tax bills could actually increase for some Weston residents.
You know, Weston's nice. I like Weston. Just a little bit too far west for me. You know, I affectionately refer to Weston as Eastern Naples. But another housekeeping matter, I just want to remind everybody that the date for the next Condo Craze Board Certification course at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood is Thursday, September 15th at 7 p.m. And we already have people from over, I think it's 62 different associations from all over Florida sign up for the course. And seats are just about sold out. I think as of this morning, we have about 15 seats left. If you want to register for the seminar, visit the show's website at www.condocrazeandhoas.com. Fill out the form. You'll get a confirmation email back from Brian, our office manager. Again, that's condocrazeandhoas.com. Just fill out the form.
Yeah, and you know, I say this every week, but it's true. For those of you who have already taken the course, you know that it's both informative and fun. We cover topics like what every association needs to know right now in the Cone case, what association budget should be, mandatory financial reporting, what fiduciary duties of board members are, arbitration, mediation, and all the laws that have been passed over the last few years. There's a lot of coffee and cake and endless questions from our audience. It's really a lot of fun, and trust me, people, it goes by a lot quicker than
and
you think it does.
Even if it's sold out, you can still get in the standby line and
right, exactly.
Get in that way. We encourage
can't
you.
Can't promise it, but, you know, yes, people have gotten in from the standby line before, but I'm guessing by either today or tomorrow night, we should probably be sold out for the September 15th course. And, of course, this year, Brian, our office manager, stocked up on a whole bunch of gifts. We're going to be giving away lots of prizes like iPods, watches, gambling chips, giant screen LCD TVs, Kindles, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And in addition, all the show's sponsors are going to be there as well with all of their products and service information for your community. And just to remind everybody what the law says, as of July 1st, the law provides you can now become certified 1 year before getting elected to the board or within 3 months of actually getting elected to the board. So there's a school of thought out there that says if you're thinking about running for the board in your upcoming election, why not take the course now and get certified? And you can promote the fact that you're already certified when you decide to run for the board. And by the way, the course provides 4 continuing education credits for all community association managers, and many, many CAMs attend the seminar together with the directors that are actually on the board. And of course, the CAMs are great to have because, like I said last week, they really keep the attorneys on their toes at the seminar. So remember, go to condocrazeandhoas.com to register. Yes.
You really upgraded the prizes for this thing, huh?
You really did. Yeah, Brian went a little crazy, yeah.
I guess those autographed pictures of Eric Glazer didn't go over too well last year.
I couldn't lure one person into the seminar with that.
All right. Well, sounds good.
Anyway, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to our first break? And when we get back, we'll talk about a new law that makes it easier for process servers to gain entry into community. The fact that the foreclosure backlog, believe it or not, may actually be shrinking. Whether or not Florida was actually unlucky by not getting hit by Hurricane Irene. Think about that for a moment. And, of course, we'll answer your questions and comments on anything else going on in the condo and HOA world. Just give us a call here in the studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. And if you'd like to give us a call, we answer all of your questions, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, Karen. You know, as everybody knows, when a condo or HOA forecloses on a unit owner or if a bank forecloses on a unit owner, the paperwork has to be served on that defendant personally or at least left at home with a family member. And, of course, process servers will tell you that they are oftentimes abused by being screamed at, cursed at, threatened with violence, and worse yet for them, they often don't get cooperation from the people who work the guard gates at the condos and the HOAs, believe it or not, in terms of getting access to the community. And as we know, the longer it takes for a process server to actually serve somebody in a foreclosure case, the longer that case is going to drag on and the longer that community is going to suffer financial harm. So in response to all this, the legislature just passed a new law regarding serving residents of a condominium or an HOA with a summons or subpoena, and here's what it says. It says that a gated residential community, including a condominium association or a cooperative, shall grant, check this out, unannounced entry into the community. Again, unannounced entry into the community, including its common areas and common elements, to a person who is attempting to serve process on a defendant or witness who resides within or is known to be within the community.
Oh, boy. So yeah. Apparently there's no way that security guards who work at condos or HOAs can prevent a process server from entering the community.
Not only that, but the statute says that the security guard can't even make the process server wait while they call the resident to see if they're home.
Wow.
They simply must let everybody in. You know what? That's the way it should be.
Of course, absolutely. Why should the person get tipped off that a process server is on the way over? You know, they're going to duck and hide. And I certainly like the statute. Anything that makes it a little harder to avoid service of process is obviously a good thing. We need to get these cases in and out of the system as soon as possible. And while the security company is there to protect the residents of a condo or HOA from harm or intruders, process servers don't fall within that category, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that story is actually a perfect segue into our next story, which comes out of the Palm Beach Post, which is reporting a 43% shrinkage in the foreclosure backlog in just 1 year. And believe it or not, Florida courts cleared 201,000 foreclosure cases in the past year. That's the good news. That's the amazing news, actually. But the bad news is that there are still over 260,000 foreclosure cases still in the system.
Well, you know, those numbers sound promising, but there's a catch. 104,000 cases that are now labeled as cleared were actually dismissed by the bank. And they weren't dismissed on the merits. You know, they were rather dismissed because the bank got caught up in one of their robo-signing scandals or their cases were lagging too long and got flopped. So those bad boys will be back.
Right. So you're saying that these 104,000 cases can actually come right back into the system once the banks get their act together?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, and of course the question is, what effect is this mess going to have on home prices? And again, the Palm Beach Post reported this week that with foreclosures flooding the real estate market, prices of distressed properties in Palm Beach County are plunging, according to the research firm RealtyTrack.
They're reporting that the average price of a foreclosure sold in Palm Beach County in the second quarter was $116,000, which is down from $142,000 a year ago.
And the news gets worse for owners who want to sell their home, as the same paper reports that lenders sell repossessed homes for an average of 38% less than the owners of non-distressed homes.
Unbelievable. And, of course, the article goes on to say that with Florida's job market still weak and loan delinquency still high, the pace of foreclosures is unlikely to slow. And again, I ask anyone, someone, please tell me, pretty please, point me to one comment from any Florida legislator about what ideas they have to help homeowners in the state. Someone please point me. I mean, am I looking in the wrong place? But, you know, one idea about any changes that can be made to community association law that would prevent owners from continuously taking a beating. I haven't heard any, hadn't seen any, and quite frankly, it's pathetic to say the least. Really very disappointing. How about we take an email from Gilbert in Aventura. Gilbert writes in, the association has the right to suspend the use of the common elements when an owner is delinquent more than 90 days in paying any monetary obligation. Obviously, enforcing the suspension is difficult at best. Can the association fine the violator if he or she ignores the suspension and, for example, continues to use the pool, the tennis courts, etc.? I don't know. What do you think, Scott? I think they can.
I think Gil's got a good question here. I think they can also. But, you know, again, it's going to present a problem for the association to get a real relief from this, because if they fine that person, they're just going to end up having to go to a small claims court.
Right, to collect on the silly fine, right?
Yeah. So, again, you know, there's some good thought put into, you know, I guess Gil's question and the law behind it. But I don't know if there's any real teeth to this law that can really get the relief associations need by preventing unit owners from, you know, accessing the amenities of the condominium.
Now, Gil, I know, is a long-term listener of the show, and this question actually makes my point. The silly, ridiculous legislation that was passed over the last few years has done nothing to help associations actually collect delinquent assessments. The intent of this was, the thought process that went behind it was, you know what, if you don't let delinquent owners use the pool, that'll get them to pay up.
Just keep them out of the pool.
And as I always said, if you threw this problem of non-paying residents to a bunch of second graders in class and you told them, guys, how would you solve the problem? Wouldn't a second grader say, I know, let's not let them use the pool? Well, that's what your legislators actually did to all of you in Florida. That's the best they can come up with.
Well, let me tell you what a guy with a third grade education would come out with, and that's Eric Glazer.
That's
He'd come up with six,
with
good
six bullet
new
points.
Rules
exactly.
To put to the
Yay!
State.
Yeah,
that's what
again,
I'm talking
visit
about.
Camp 2012. Right. Visit camp2012.net to find out. How about we go to Dennis in Pompano Beach? How are you, Dennis?
Hi, Eric. How you doing? I called you guys several weeks ago. I live in a condominium in Pompano Beach, and it's not an over 55 condominium. And they just, because some kids made some noise in the pool, they put signs up that no children will be allowed in the pool area.
Wait, I'm sorry, Dennis. Did you say
any of the rec room?
Wait, Dennis, slow it down. Did you say you are or are not a 55 or over community?
No, we are not.
We're
just
okay.
A regular condominium. There's no restrictions in our bylaws or our condominium policies. In fact, it's 10 years old. So they just went around and decided, without a board meeting or anything else, they would post these signs saying children under 18 years old have either a parent or adult supervision to be in the pool area, library, rec room, gym, whatever it is. It's not a large building, 105 units. So we had a board meeting, and I wrote them a certified letter and we discussed it there. They were just going to pass it as a resolution. But finally, someone got smart and said, we need to speak to our attorney, which is not a condo attorney firm that they have. So I saw the president the other day, and I said, he said right me back. He says, well, it's legal. And he said, that's, he doesn't want to speak to me. But I saw the secretary in the office. I said, wait a minute, the lawyer said it was legal. Just like that. She says, no, we have to change the condo docs.
Right.
I think you said something about that. However, they just on Friday went and posted these all around again. No children under 18 without adult supervision are allowed in these rooms or entire common areas.
Dennis, I promise
you. How do you fight?
Hold on. Let me tell you. After, I remember you called in a couple of weeks ago. And the that night I actually went home, believe it or not, and I researched a lot of what you were talking about during the show. And there are actually some federal cases out there, not only Florida cases as well, but from around the country, if you do some research, even in Google, even on the Internet, that says, yes, it's a form of familial discrimination, believe it or not, if the association has types of rules that require, let's say, 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds to be supervised while at the pool. There's simply no logic behind it if they know how to swim and there's not a safety issue.
So our hunch was right?
Your hunch was right, Scott. Yeah, Scott actually, that was Scott's hunch at the time, and I can tell you he was right on. Yes, there's actually some case law out there that would support the way you feel, Dennis, about it, and it would be somewhat discriminatory.
Yeah. But basically, how do you deal with a board that just is quiet and we have a president just doing whatever he wants to do, not including getting bids, and does these things? They just keep posting them up, and I take them down.
Well, there's really only one way. Well, Dennis, I'm sorry, but there's really only one way to deal with this, and you're going to have to sue them to actually get something done.
Right.
Now, remember, these are civil laws that they're breaking, and they're going to keep breaking them until they get somebody to pinch them on it.
How about recalling your board and going with a different board? Give that a shot.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard, but all right. Well, it's very hard to recall people.
I got
you. People association work. I just kind of say, eventually you have to go to a law firm. I'll let you guys and say, hey, if this is what's going on, you can deal with it.
Thanks for the call, Dennis, but we've got to run here in the music. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis, joined by attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, before the break, we were talking about just how flat the real estate market here is in Florida. And by the way, the news doesn't get any better regarding the sale of new homes either, because the number of people who bought new homes fell for the fourth straight month this year, and it's the worst year for the sale of new homes, believe it or not, in nearly half a century. And it's funny that this same article says that plunging stocks and a growing fear that the U.S. could tip back into another recession are also continuing to hurt the housing market. And I got to tell you, when I keep reading lines like this or keep seeing lines on TV about this, that the U.S. could possibly tip back into another recession, I always ask myself, when did the first one end? Can someone tell me that? I mean, what's the definition of, or what's the proof that the first recession end? Why are we always being told we may tip back into a recession?
All right. There's a scientific, economic definition of what a recession
is. Invented by who? Standard & Poor's?
No, by some economist probably 150 years ago. But if you really want to know what the definition is, it's a significant decline in activity across the economy lasting longer than a few months. It is visible in industrial production, employment, real income, and wholesale retail trade. The technical indicator of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth as measured by a country's gross domestic product. So if our GDP went up once in three quarters, a recession is over.
I'm not smart enough to figure out what you just said. I'll admit that right now. All I know is this. I don't remember things being much worse than they are now. I know unemployment in South Florida is still at a staggering 13% or above. But if you want to get an actual idea of just how dramatically the building of new homes has slowed down, listen to these numbers as reported in the Palm Beach Post this week. From 2003 to 2006, Florida housing starts were averaging 231,000 new homes per year. In 2005 alone, Florida builders built a whopping 272,000 brand new homes.
And just 6 years later, by 2009, that number had plunged to 33,800. And don't expect to see Florida new housing start top, you know, at the 200,000 home mark again for a very, very long time. And that's coming out of UCF, their economist Sean Snaith. He says, at no point during the 30-year forecast horizon do housing start to climb to more than 72% of the peak levels of starts during the housing boom. The housing boom was a once-in-a-lifetime event.
The unemployment is still as high as ever. The housing market is dead. Everyone is complaining they're broke. And for some reason, we're always being told that the recession is over.
Yeah,
I don't get it either.
I don't get it, but why don't we take Jean-Claude from North Miami Beach. How are you, Jean?
I am fine, and you, Eric?
Okay, what's going on?
What's going on? I would like to ask you a question concerning the condo doc. Our condo doc stipulates that we can have only one pet, a dog in particular, 15 pounds. And the board, at the board meeting this week, to please the unit owner, all the other board members, not all, four of the other board members voted to accept dogs. Is there a problem here or not?
There is absolutely a problem. So you're saying your declaration of condominium itself expressly indicates that only one pet is allowed?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. One pet, no more than 15 pounds.
And then the board, by a board vote, decided to change that. And we teach this at the course all the time. When something is actually contained in the declaration of condominium, the board of directors can't change what the actual declaration of condominium says simply by a board vote. That's a shortcut that's illegal. What they have to do is they have to amend the condominium documents. Now, I know which condominium you're calling from, and I think in that condominium, they require a 75% vote of the unit owners, perhaps, to amend the governing documents. And again, the reason why you can't do it by a vote of the board is because it's something that's already addressed in your declaration of condominium. So a vote of the unit owners.
I was right not to vote for that, correct?
Absolutely, because it's really a meaningless board vote. The vote itself doesn't count. It's an illegal vote because, again, the members of your community vote on that issue to amend their docs. Mm-hmm. It's not a vote of the board of directors. But I hope that answers your question.
I knew the answer, but I want your professional answer, and I think you did great. Now, very quick question, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
I don't want to take too much time. What is the minimum budget amount that it's required by law to get an independent management company?
What is the budget required by law to get to independent management company? The question, I believe, is at what point are you practicing community association management? And I think if the budget of the association is $100,000 or more, and I know that your association's budget is well over $100,000. You know, no two ways about that. Yeah, of course. You guys probably have over $100,000 a month, never mind annually. So, yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, what that means in your association is you can only be using persons. You can either the board can self-manage or you have to use professional management. No such thing as like a bookkeeper. Can't do that. The person has to be licensed and qualified to practice community association management because your budget meets that qualification.
Okay, and he has to be independent. He cannot be a board member, correct?
Well, the question is that board member licensed? Does the board member also have a CAM
license? We have a board member, yes.
Okay, that board member's probably best off. This comes up every once in a while. Board member's probably best off to obviously get off the board and instead be the community association manager. Difficult to do both things at the same time, although there's nothing illegal about it. If that board member has a separate company, but that board member also better not vote on whether or not to hire that board member's company as the community association management company, because that person obviously has a financial self-interest. So they are required by law to refrain from voting to hire themselves. Okay?
Okay.
Hope that answers your question.
Absolutely.
John, how far do we go back? I think you knew me when I graduated law school, right?
Almost. But I always like your professional advice. You are always straight, and you give the fact. And this is where I like to talk to you.
Even when I lie, John,
here,
right?
Or face to face. Yes.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Thank you. All right, be well. All right, a nice call from a longtime listener and a longtime friend. Well, how about I'll say something that may get some of our listeners think I'm a little nuts, despite what our last caller says. But Florida can't even get lucky and get hit by a hurricane anymore.
Oh.
And before you call in and start screaming at me, just let me make it clear, I don't want to see us get hit with a hurricane like Andrew in 1992. I certainly don't want to see any loss of life. But make no mistake about it, a decent hurricane like a Wilma in 2005 pumps billions of dollars, billions and billions of dollars, actually, into the local economy and quickly. And a hurricane like Andrew has the ability to completely turn around the local economy. And just to be sure, I did some research this past week and found an article in Florida Trend magazine that was written in April 1993, which those of you who are here a long time now know. That was just a few months after Hurricane Andrew, and here's what the article actually said at the time. Southeast Florida's economy last year was shaped by the most basic law of physics. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Hurricane Andrew's strong winds of destruction last August set into motion an equally strong economic recovery that is not only benefiting Dade County, but is also propelling much of Florida's 1993 growth. Economist Thomas Powers says, if you have to have a disaster, it sure pays to have it in an election year when the federal government is very quick coming out with the checkbook. And just to remind everybody, of course, are we not in an election year now? In fact, an estimated $22 billion in federal disaster and insurance payments will flow, again, this was written right after Andrew, into the regional economy over the next 2 to 3 years. Already this has created a chain reaction in personal income growth, job creation, housing starts, and retail activity. Is that not what we need down here?
Mm-hmm. Glazer, you can't go for more than 5 minutes without air conditioning. You're rooting for a hurricane?
That's
true. You've got to be kidding me. And as you can see from this article, the best part about it is it's typically the insurance companies that are picking up the tab, paying everyone's insurance claims. Of course, you know, you do have to deal with the mass losses and the mass destruction of a hurricane to get those insurance proceeds.
True.
I don't know if it's a great trade-off.
Well, and of course, everyone takes their insurance checks and fix up their homes or buy new homes, and these homes need new furnishings and appliances, and lots of money does start flowing around real quick.
Yeah, there's no question about it. Really, all of Western Broward County was basically originally bought by people who took their insurance checks and moved out of Dade County, and the housing markets get going big time after a hurricane, and as a result, lots of other industries follow. But the good news is that the hurricane season still has about 2 months to go, and maybe we'll get lucky down here and get hit, you know, like unfortunately our brethren in New York are doing as we speak. And now anybody who wants to call in and criticize, feel free to do so. All right, how about we go to our final break of the hour? Give us a call at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, why don't we go to Bob in Palm Beach. How are you, Bob?
I wonder whether you guys or anybody has published a list of amendments to the Condo Act so that those associations that don't have the favorite, the as amended language will know which amendments that have been passed don't apply to them.
That's a very, very interesting point. There's not a specific publication of which I'm aware that would actually list all the various amendments over the last couple of years. It would actually take someone going back year after year after year and seeing, you know, all the new amendments that were passed. But yes, that is one interesting way to find out which amendments may or may not apply to your community association. That's not
Eric,
a bad idea.
I believe there's a certain website that has some of the newest amendments on it, though, that you can always check out. And what website would that be?
Was that our law firm's website at condo-laws.com. See, Scott always figures out a way to plug the firm. I got to get much better at that. Way to go, Scott.
All
That's
right.
condo-laws.com again. Yeah, you can see, we always publish when the new laws are passed each and every year. We keep a list of the new laws that actually have gone into effect that July 1st of that year. So certainly for the new associations that have been built during the housing boom, it would be very easy to figure which ones apply and which laws do not apply based on whether or not you have the as amended from time to time language in your governing documents. But that makes a lot of sense.
How about those of us that go back 25 years?
Yeah, then it becomes a lot more difficult because I say starting in 1992 was the real boom when it came to condominium amendments on 718. And then, you know, every couple of years there's like a major reconfiguration
of the laws. You can always just sit down, print out all the statutes and read them. I'm sure that's what every homeowner expects when they purchase a piece of property in the state of Florida.
Does your documents have the as amended from time to time language, Roger?
No, they don't.
A lot of the laws that have been passed over the years may not apply to you, and I take it that's what you're nervous about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that nobody's put out a list.
Right.
So associations will know.
Are you out of curiosity? You on the board?
Yes.
So you're worried about what things may or may not be enforceable,
right,
and what remedies you may or may not be able to pursue. For example, can you prevent somebody from running for the board if they're 90 days or more delinquent? Probably not, because that's not an original bargain that someone agreed to when they moved into your community. Can you kick them out of the clubhouse or kick them out of the swimming pool if your documents don't contain the as amended from time to time clause? Probably not, because that's not something they agreed to as well. So again, here we are with the legislature trying to do
but a lot of it's a waste. We're currently being sued because of it. We did bar somebody. They have now counter-sued us in an action. And one of the things they're claiming is we didn't have the right to bar them. I don't think they know they're right.
Man, if I had only won that case in front of the Supreme Court, huh?
I know.
Yeah. Well, right. At least it was close, 7-0.
I'll tell you what, Glazer, it wouldn't be a bad idea to maybe put a list together. And, you know, I don't know, over the next few weeks, months.
You know what, Bob? That's a great idea. That's something you're going to actually have us work on. No two ways about it.
I have just the gal to start working on it.
Oh, yeah, right. That's a good idea.
I would love to call your office and be on a list if you ever put it together to send it to.
You got it. Great phone call, Bob. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. How about we go to Roger in Fort Lauderdale?
Hi, Eric. I just wanted to run something by you real quick. We got a letter in the mail from the clerk of the court saying that the foreclosure is done and that Fannie Mae is the new proud owner of one of our units here in the building, and they submitted the high bid of $100.
Okay.
Now, my question was, this was advertised for bid. Was anybody actually allowed to bid besides them?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. If Fannie Mae...
Really? And nobody showed up?
No. Well, what happened to... We don't know. Maybe a lot of people showed up. Well, hold on.
Really?
If it was an online sale...
Yeah, he's in Fort Lauderdale, so this is online.
This is online. Okay. So when you say showed up, really all of this is done, you know, via the internet now. Okay? But what could have happened is the amount of the final judgment that the plaintiff had was simply too high, and the bank wound up bidding there... the amount of their judgment, and it wasn't worth it for anybody to bid against the bank because they didn't want to pay that high of a price. And if a third party buys it, they would have been responsible for the full amount of the condo assessments as well. The more interesting question in regards to your phone call is, we had a really big case in the office this week involving what happens when Fannie Mae actually takes back title to a condominium unit. Do you know who the original plaintiff was in that case? It wasn't Fannie Mae. It probably was a bank.
It says up here about Wells Fargo plaintiff,
right,
versus unknown heirs, grantees.
There you go. So you see, the thing here is you have Wells Fargo was the original lender. So they're the plaintiff in the case. And at some point, probably what happened is that, and this is a little technical, but they assigned their bid to Fannie Mae. And they might not have assigned the actual note and mortgage to Fannie Mae. We don't know if they did or they didn't. So they, when they got title back to the unit, sometimes Fannie Mae says, well, you know, we only owe you the 6 months or 1%. But the association says, no, you're not the original plaintiff. You owe us everything that's owed. And again, we ran this back and forth in our office this week. And finally, we got Fannie Mae to cave in. And they wound up giving the condominium association that we represent $20,000 rather than giving them the like $2,000 that they said they owed. You got to chalk one up for attorney Ralph Rocco in our office for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's
very good.
Yeah, that's the real question of the day, whether or not they're going to pay you what you're actually due and owing, or are they going to take that 6 months or 1% position?
Okay. Yeah, it's been given over to a real estate company up in Pompano, and they're dealing with it now, so it's getting cleaned up. So time will tell. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and see you at the next seminar.
All right, are you coming? You going to be there?
Yep, I'll be there. Yeah, two of us off the board here are coming. At least two, maybe three.
Give your association a plug.
Okay, thanks again.
Okay, Roger.
Remember, black tie optional. Yeah.
Should we do that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, about
about
a minute to go. No time to move on to any other news stories. So what else? How can we fill the last minute? Come on,
Karen.
The
Dolphins looked really good, except they lost.
The Dolphins look really good.
It looked all right, yeah.
Except for Reggie Bush.
I'm not feeling it this year for the Dolphins.
Minus yardage.
Actually, I never feel it for the Dolphins. But I know my Jets look really good. We got a big, big, big Jet fan in the room. How about it, Mr. Levy?
Yeah, we have a big crowd.
I predict Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
How about Super Bowl for the Lions?
Lions beat the hell out of Tom Brady last night, right?
Big time.
All right.
Everybody looks great when it doesn't count. Let's see what happens in the regular season.
As long as the Jets go 2-0 against the Dolphins this year, I'm pretty happy.
Well, they haven't done that in a few years, so let's see.
Well, we got Jason Taylor back.
We also have one of South Florida's finest attorneys to my left in Mark Atlas here. Say hi, Mark.
Hey, Eric.
All right. Okay, guys. I guess that chalks up the end of another week here on Condo Craze and HOAs. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see everybody again next week. Be well.